Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
Yes, sir.
Time for the Falcons report.
Big Beasley slams it through the gut to touchdown Atlanta. Julio, touchdown. Oh, my goodness.
The 5 o'clock Falcons report on Dukes and Bell.
You heard the man. We appreciate you listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and us, Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey!
Sorry, Bo is in my ear, screwing up the show. Do it again. Do it again.
We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man.
Yeah, Bo, man. It's like a submarine. I got the sonar operator in my ear. I'm trying to, you know, run the Red October.
Hey, it's all right. Bo, you could jump in there. You could have said it, too. Hey, here's the deal, though, guys. We're going to get to our Falcon report. Coming up, some news coming out in regards to Tack McKinley and what Falcon player had the gender reveal. Yeah, we'll tell you all of that coming up. I got to start, though, Mike, as we get back into...
And for folks in Noonan, that's not a sex change. Somebody's having a baby.
Yes, it is. I got to get back into this Julio thing because Julio talked to ESPN's Von McClure. And I just want to read you a quote. Von was talking about the red zone. And Julio Jones says, quote, "It's very important for me and Matt to be on the same page down there in the red zone. I have the ability to make plays. He has the ability to put balls there. But it's all about us being on the same page, not having to think when we get down there, knowing where he's going to put the ball and knowing what I can do before he puts the ball there." Okay.
It's like everything we were talking about this offseason, isn't it?
Sounds like everything we were talking about this offseason. Oh, and then he goes on to say, asked a question about whether or not were they on the same page last year. And Jones dismisses the idea of that was the situation. He says, did it feel like you were not on the same page with Matt last season? He says, right. No, not at all. It was just that the more you work on something, the better you get. That's all it is. We worked on it. But we're making a big emphasis this year for us to just be more on the same page. Isn't this what we've been saying?
Yeah, man. It's why we were so adamant about hoping Julio would be there for OTAs and minicamp, et cetera. Now, obviously, he's here and everybody's happy. We presume everybody's happy. But, yeah, I mean, it's something we've talked about. I'm glad that Julio is, answering questions about it. Like, we all know what we got to do. The two biggest stars, and they get it. The two biggest pieces, the MVP caliber wide receiver, the MVP guy that's won an MVP at quarterback, I should say, these guys have got to be able to produce in the red zone. And we all know, the physical freakish skills. I mean, nobody had to remind us in the last few months. But, I mean, why don't Julio and Matt connect the way Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown connect? Hey, the way that even Jameis Winston and Mike Evans can connect at times. I mean, there's got to be that production level at a much higher clip if we're going to get back. And we should, even in 2016, the big plays. Matt DeJulio was what should have won us the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Before we all gack it away on those, we had first down and we blew it.
Yeah, I just bring that up only because, again, it's an article out today by Von McClure, who covers the Falcons for ESPN. Listen, I just like the fact that Julio's acknowledging. Now, he's not saying, hey, we had major issues last year, because I don't think he feels that way. But I also think he does realize three was not enough. And so, what are we doing to get better at that? As far as Dan Quinn, I want you to hear some of the things he's talking about, because the Falcons are getting ready, Mike, for their first preseason game against the New York Jets. Here's Dan Quinn saying that if there's a difference between vets and young players in these preseason games.
In the meeting yesterday, I showed Grady Jarrett mic'd up for his first preseason game and all the emotions that go into it. And I thought it was a good lesson to say, one of the things we noticed about Grady from the very beginning was how hard he played. And in that game, you could say all his technique wasn't right. He didn't have his stuff all the way together. He didn't just show up into the player he is today. You know, the day he arrived here, it took a hell of a lot of work to get there. So I think it was a good message for some of the young guys. Okay, he was tired, you know, all the things that are funny to see. So I thought it was worthwhile.
Cool.
Teaching moment.
Yeah, they plan on playing a lot of young guys, and that's a given, right? I mean, we know who can play and who needs some work. Dan Quinn admitting as much, saying you're going to see a lot of rookies on Friday.
One of the things that we're really committed to is playing, you know, the rookies and the first-year guys. And I think if you look back on our history, our play time for the preseason would show that. It's such an important time to evaluate. We wouldn't put them in if we didn't think they'd earn some play time here during mini camps and training camp to get ready. So we're totally committed to playing those guys and seeing what they look like.
And for guys who have not been to Falcons camp for the days that it was open to the public, you know, Deidrin Sinat, we've only seen a little bit of him. Looking forward to seeing him in action against the Jets at MetLife. Calvin Ridley looks like a veteran, right? Would you agree with me on that? Calvin Ridley looks like a guy who's been playing in the NFL for a couple of years.
He has.
You know, and now Isaiah Oliver, well, I'm looking forward to see what he can do now as far as pass defense. But, I mean, you're right. There's guys out there that look the part. Some guys we haven't seen. I haven't seen much from Ito Smith because he was banged up in the initial part of contact for camp.
And I think that's a lot. We're going to see a lot of Ito, along with these other backs that are not established. Let's be honest, there's no reason to see Free. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to run Coleman out there. No. I mean, I need to see some of these other guys. Hey, as far as Tack McKinley, the rumor is that he will now be available for Friday, at least be in uniform. Does that mean he sees snaps? Dan Quinn.
He was good. And what I was looking for, like any guy coming back, is there any hesitancy? And he had none. And so that's what I was looking for, and he responded in the right way. And so he was kind of chomping at the bit to get back. We want to just make sure we're in all instances, taking care of the guys the best way. So not
taking care of everybody. And so, Tack, you want to see Tack for a series? What do you want to see? Or you don't want to see Tack?
Well, I mean, if he's not 100% because it was the shoulder that was worked on, was operated on in the offseason that he had the bruise, the contusion to. So, I mean, I want to see him by week three. You know, we talked about this earlier. By week three, everybody, you know, in the mix, and that's when you see your starters go deep. But you would like to see some signs that, you know, Tack's not going to be a guy who's got constant nagging injuries either.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see him right now, but if they want to put him out there because they need him to get some reps, so be it. What about the planned quarterback rotation for Friday? We know Matt will maybe get a series, maybe, and then what happens?
You know, certainly we'll get some work with both Matt Chaub and Matt Ryan in the first half. And then as it gets into the second quarter, we want to take a good look at Kurt and Garrett both. So we're hopeful. We'll see how the game plays out, but we're hopeful to get all four of them some meaningful reps.
So
that's
we'll see.
Kurt, Bent Kurt, the quarterback from Virginia, right, Squid? Right. There you go.
Have you seen any of him?
Yeah, I saw him a little bit. You know, I mean, looks like a guy who played quarterback in Virginia.
Virginia, okay. Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Matt Chaub was one.
Who was the who's the other quarterback they had out there? The kid that – yeah, Grayson. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that in a disparaging way? Yes, Garrett Grayson.
Garrett Grayson from Colorado State.
Yeah.
Played for Mike Bobo.
Yeah, Grayson. That's right.
Well, look at the bright side. At least you don't have a Sims back there. It seemed like you couldn't get rid of him for years. That Sims, right, was around there forever.
We'll see how this plays out. But at least, you know, he's telling us what the quarterback rotation is going to be. Real quick, from Deion Jones. Who? Debo. He says, Mike, man, I'm tired of hitting our guys. I want to hit somebody else.
About time. We've been getting after each other a good bit. And like I said, it always feels good to go after someone else and pretty much play ball and, like I said, put our style of tape on film.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hit somebody
else.
Our
style of tape. Dukes and Bell, we like to put our style of tape on film as well.
Our style of tape. Maybe you might dig it.
Yeah, no, but again, one part of what we're going to see in preseason, this is preseason for the guys in the stripes, talking about the refs. And if you missed our segment in the 4 o'clock hour, the new contact rules, Marquand Manuel held this film session for media members where he explained this is dirty, this is not dirty, this is acceptable, this is unacceptable. So the Falcons believe in principle they understand how this is supposed to be enforced. But no one knows how the refs are going to call it. How much outside of the tackle box are we going to get away with? When a running back, the guy we talked about like Free with his very physical running style, Free's going up against a big physical linebacker. You're going to call him for dropping his head? See, that's what I'm really worried about. I think something to look for on Friday is how the refs do calls. We saw it already in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, there was, what, three?
Right.
I don't want to say phantom calls. There was one.
That was bogus, two that were seeming, okay, I get it, okay.
Yeah. So, Mike, by the way, if you're the aggressor, right, isn't that, though, the whole thing? For example, receiver catches the ball. I'm a DB. I make contact with the receiver. I'm holding the receiver. Here comes the safety. Right. Now I'm going to finish the receiver off by lowering my head. Yeah. You're the aggressor. There. That's a flag.
No, you got to run with your. You got to put your hands behind your back.
That's a flag. Okay, so now, like so now you're a running back.
Yes.
I'm a DB. You've come across. You're on the outside here. You're outside the tackles. Yes. You're running at me. I'm coming up for the tackle. You lower your head into my chest.
Yeah. No, you're supposed to immediately stand up and swing your arms like the hills are alive with the sounds of music. That's the question. How are they going to interpret it? I mean, how do you look, especially how far outside of, you know, inside the hash mark, the tackle box, if you will, are they start calling that stuff? Because there's more head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet contact in the first half second of every snap.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, people go back and say that's why more linemen deal with concussions than the other players out there. But I'm 100% with you. How these guys call it, that's the great mystery. The Falcons think they've got a handle on it, whether it's Keanu Neal, who leads with his head a lot. Look, you can't leave your feet. That's one thing.
No, you can't. What's it called?
Launching?
Launching.
No, so that's a no-go.
Yeah, you can't launch.
Crown of the helmet. The Adrian Claiborne hit on Tom Brady we talked about earlier. That's a no-go. That would be one of those where you're now one more of a personal foul and you're ejected from the game.
Here's one more thing from Deion Jones. Your chance to win $1,000 coming up here playing our national signing bonus contest. We'll get to our big story in less than 10 minutes. Deion talking about the communication. We hear Dan Quinn talking about this a lot. He says things are really going well there.
After being thrown in the fire young and seeing a lot of situations and learning on the run, now it's kind of like we're seeing the same things. And we know how to, you know, communicate with each other and help each other out. Like, you know, hey, hold that for me a little bit longer because it is. So, you know, something like that. And it's just us all growing together, all communicating and doing what we have to do to make ourselves better.
Well, let's hope the communication is where it needs to be. It doesn't need to be there Friday. I mean, let's be honest. It doesn't need to be there August 17th. Doesn't need to be there August, okay, maybe a little bit better. August 25th, August 30th, the last game against the Dolphins preseason.
Yeah.
But I need it there Thursday, September 6th, Mike.
Well, a couple of things we talked about is the depth at linebacker. Wasn't that one of your concerns going back to the preseason?
It is.
And so a couple of guys, and they're not household names by any stretch, but you've got, Emmanuel Smith from Vanderbilt, rookie. And we saw him making some plays at times. Remember they had that split scrimmage where they had everybody out there? Squid, is it pronounced? Bo's our producer. I'm not talking to my imaginary friend, Squid. Is Foye Olukun? That's another dude who's been getting some reps. He's from Yale.
Yeah, Foyside Olukun. Yeah, yeah. The kid out of Princeton.
Gesundheit. You got a better pronunciation on that.
Foyside Olukun. The reason why is draft night. I was like, who? And then they kept talking about his story. So, anyways, go ahead.
That's an area if you're trying to see who's going to be the next bunch of dudes that are stepping up at linebacker, you know, behind. Now, Duke Riley, I think, is having a good camp. Duke Riley, Dan Quinn told you and I last Friday, having a much better camp than last year.
Duke is a guy that I think they're expecting to take a big jump. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some guys, again, who are going to take a smaller jump than Duke Riley. To me, Mike, you got to come out of this season and feel like, okay, he's going to be here. Like, you feel like Debo, you know, and Devondre. You feel like both of those guys are going to be here for a long time, and you found the guy. I think they want to feel that way about Duke Riley. I don't know if they felt that way. He's a really good player. Don't get me wrong. Duke can run just like Debo, which is one of the reasons why they drafted him. But, yeah, I think he's got to get in and make some more plays and certainly try to stay healthy.
Other guys to look out for, guys, on the game against the Jets Friday night, right here on 92.9 The Game, by the way, with Arch and Wes.
Drew Ham!
Is Eric Saubert from Drake, which is in Iowa, we learned last week. But Eric Saubert, the tight end, who's had a good camp as well. So not just Logan Paulson, who's more of this classic blocking back, but maybe Saubert makes some plays. So these are some of the dudes. And there's 14 wide receivers on the roster right now.
There won't be after week three of the preseason.
Well, some of those dudes better play some special teams for Coach Armstrong, and that's another unit we got to get back to where it needs to be because that did struggle last year.
Bo, real quick, in your opinion, Hardy's good, right? He's going to make the squad.
Yeah, I think so. I think Justin Hardy might be the guy you see on punt returns this year. He's probably got the best hands in the wide receiver squad.
Okay.
The guy's very good. He's got very good hands. He'll be the trustworthy guy they have by there, I think, personally.
And the other wrinkle guys we talked about with Arch yesterday, Dave Archer joined us, is DeMonte KZ, and using him as a safety and letting Keanu Neal kind of rumble up as a, you know, an extra linebacker in a dime package.
I love it. He does a great job of filling the gaps when you talk about run support. So Yeah, man. They've got a lot of flexibility. They really do. Hey, our Falcon Report, as always, brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Yeah, man. Make it a pizza party. A large three-topping pizza, $7.99. Carry out only, but it's good every night of the week. Maybe you make it a pizza party tonight. Hunker down, watch the Bravos tonight.
Yeah, man. We're going to talk about the Braves. We're also going to talk about one broadcaster who's getting plenty of attention. But before we do that, let's give you a chance to win $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
ocean. O-C-E-A-N. Ocean.
Ocean. Okay, Danny Ocean. 72881. That's 72881. Text the word ocean. Be the 5 o'clock winner. You get a grand. And again, if you text in and then if somebody calls you, don't be like, oh, I hope that's not Helping Hand Finance getting after me. Answer the phone because it could be the guys from our company, Entercom, giving you a shot at that loot.
And now real quick, before we get to our big story, you put a little money on the Falcons, didn't you?
Yeah, man. My buddy Mikey Marinara is heading out to Vegas.
Oh, that sounds like a trustworthy guy.
No, he's a new guy. He's a new guy in my building. There's a new dude lives in our building.
No, and, I hear you. I get it.
And
I see it.
You know what? I see a lot of myself in this guy.
Wait a minute. Time out.
If I was tall and 27 and, you know, good looking, I'd be that
you
guy.
You gave Mikey five bills and he's new to your building?
He's from Massapequa. I can trust him. He's one town over.
Okay. I'm just saying. But you told me
he's
today.
Going on. He's got a business trip to Vegas. He's going tomorrow. So we had a clandestine meeting, if you must know, in the lobby last night. And I gave him the envelope.
You went down with the envelope.
I went and I got $500 bills, so it'll be easier to transport. 16-1, the Falcons. That pays us $8,000 if we win the Super Bowl. Now, again, if you want to get some money, I could get Mikey Marinara your envelope, too, if you want to throw it
in. The name itself doesn't sound trustworthy.
So you're not in to win with the Falcons?
No. You know I am.
You know, Dan Quinn's going to take your patch away now, pal.
Hey, I got my vest, mister. I was there.
All right, well, I'm in it to win it. Well, next time we talk to the Falcons, I've got emotional and a monetary investment in this team.
Is his real name? Is his name Mikey Marinara? Really?
He's Italian from Massapequa.
Well,
got
that's a given.
So Mikey,
I didn't think it was a brother named Mikey Marinara.
Hey, he's got a gold cross. How can you not trust him?
Big story next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, coming up. Really cool guys. Stop by the studio today, Mike, in the 2 o'clock hour. But we tell you guys all the time, we're always watching stuff and checking out new shows. And this show, if you've not seen it, we were promoting it, talking about it yesterday. Word got back to the guys, David and Vince, that we love the show. We want to get them on. They came in studio today.
Yeah, man. The two detectives who all the storylines are based on the new show ATL Homicide, Vince Velasquez and David Quinn, who worked the mean streets of Atlanta for many years. Anyway, it's a real fun show, and they do the reenactments with actors. And these guys basically tell you what went down with some unbelievable cases here in Atlanta. So my wife turned me on to it. I turned Carl on to it, and now we're turning you on to it. So when you hear the guys, very charismatic, very interesting stuff, and some interesting stories you're not going to want to miss at 6:20.
I put it out there yesterday on the Twitter, and immediately somebody responded, and then David hit me back and said, yeah, man, we'd love to come on. Also, big shout-out to Eric Lee and John Parler for helping us because it's funny. The guys, and I'll say this, and you'll hear it coming up at 6:20, guys, but and it's interesting. The show is interesting, but it's also about the ATL. But Mike and I were talking to him off air, and we were just kind of chatting about a variety of things. And they were like, man, yesterday our phones blew up. And Mike and I were like, well, yeah, it's kind of a big show. Hey, let's get to the big big story.
Guess what time it is?
Now, it's time for the big story.
Listen to this.
On Dukes and Bell.
It's about our Braves, man. Yesterday, they split a day-night doubleheader. Last night, Charlie Culbertson home run in the sixth. It was the only run given up by Max Scherzer. And then two outs in the ninth, guys. Singles by Freddie and Markakis. And then here comes Ender and Ciarte. Mike, you're thinking, oh, is he going to get it done? And he does. A two-run triple. Two RBI triple. They got the Braves the win last night. Got to give credit to Sean Newcomb, too. So, you know, listen, all around, you said it. We needed a good outing from him. We got it. You got some clutch hitting late, and the Braves end up splitting.
Yeah, because Max Fried, as we told you, he had a decent outing until he got jammed up on a comebacker and screwed up his groin, as Carl would say, a garon. And then Kobe Allard came in, and he was hot garbage this outing. So you needed a good effort last night, and you got it from Newcomb, who Brian Jordan said is the guy he trusts the most right now. If you missed our conversation with Brian last hour, faulty on the bump tonight against the Nats, Tommy Malone. But, yeah, man, it was a gritty effort. And Ender, how about keeping his head up?
Ooh.
You know, a lot of people, I didn't think it was the end of the world. It was kind of uncharacteristic that he wouldn't run out a ball, which, you know, got him taken out by Snitker about a month ago now. But ever since the All-Star break, and more importantly, even since Duvall came over, he's kept his head up and he's chugging along, man.
All right. I don't know what the lineup – I haven't looked for tonight. But now he's hitting 328. We're talking about Ender Inciarte in 16 games since the All-Star break, Mike. But tonight is one of those things where the Braves are facing lefties the next couple of days. That's today and tomorrow. Now do you make the move that you got?
Yeah, you got to have Adam Duvall in there, and he will.
He's in there?
Yeah, Acuna, Albies, Freddie Freeman, Nick Markakis, and then Adam Duvall. He'll be batting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 spot. Johan Camargo at shortstop, Tyler Flowers. Culberson is at third base at the hot corner, then Faulty.
Okay, so there you have it.
I just got it from Dave O'Brien. He posted it.
Well, and that's why we went out and got Duvall, right? He's a Gold Glove outfielder. Mm-hmm. But this gives you some flexibility, and we got him because at the time, again, Ender is struggling. Ender's hot again, but you still make this move righty-lefty, righty-lefty.
So Duvall playing left field. And again, Duvall is a good outfielder. You know that he's a great fielding and an outfielder. So this is the way it shall work. Hopefully now Duvall will pay dividends. You know, you know, you're not supposed to be platooned, but we're getting a little more of the hands-on, if you will, from Snitker down the stretch. Let's see how it works out. Dansby's, you're a number one overall pick. You're not supposed to be platooned in your third year in the bigs.
No, he's not.
That's just my opinion.
No, and I think it's a valid one. Well, let me ask you this, though. How you feel about Dansby now? Do you have a better feel? Last year, a little bit, you go, all right, listen, they put too much pressure on him. Kid, mm-hmm. I get it. Working through some things, he comes back up. But now how you feeling? Are you feeling any different?
Yeah, I mean, well, Dansby, he's a 250 hitter right now. 241, actually, check that. So – maybe this is where he'll be. But then here's the thing. If you're not going to be a 300 hitter, or you're not going to be a 285 hitter with some
Gold Glove.
Pop, yeah, you better not be committing some boo-boos out there in the infield.
All right, here's the other big story, guys, in regard to the Braves. And many of you have heard about it. Many of you have talked about it. Many of you have tweeted at us in regards to it. And we invite you to like us on Facebook. That's the station, 929. Follow us across all social media platforms. I'm at Put 'Em Up. He's at Mike Bell, ATL. And, of course, this show is Dukes and Bell, 929. And go to the website. Check out all the great content there, 929 The Game. Joe Simpson, 27 seasons as a Braves broadcaster. I don't know, Mike. I can't tell you because I haven't been here for all 27. But is this the most exposure Joe Simpson has gotten a season talking about things that he's been talking about?
Well, it's certainly the most I've talked about Joe, other than usually I just complain about how mediocre he is. But, yeah, he had a couple of things. Start off, didn't like Freeze in the outfield. Found that kind of tiresome last year.
I love Freeze,
and
by the way.
This year,
Mr. Freeze is cold.
And now he just sounds like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino. Get off my lawn. But he didn't like the Dodgers playing grab-ass at batting practice, not wearing their team-authorized uniforms because, heaven forbid, if a child shows up at SunTrust and he can't delineate which Dodger is taking batting practice. That was the rant the other a couple weeks back. And then this was a really mild comment, which could not be, I don't think, blown up from a mountain out of a molehill more than it has been. But it was kind of funny to hear Joe taking some heat over this.
Well,
comment.
This happened in game one yesterday. Remember, it was a day-night doubleheader. Simpson talking about Nationals left fielder. His name is Juan Soto, for those who are not familiar. Now, Soto's 19 years old. He's a beast.
Yeah, he's in the Dominican Republic, and he up there with Albies is one of the best young players right now in baseball.
So he questions the age of Juan Soto.
Two balls, one strike. And he is, if he's 19, he has certainly got his man growth. He is big and strong.
Man growth. Here's the thing. He says if he's 19.
Now, you sure is a wordsmith, that Joe Simpson.
Yeah, but if you're riding around and you're going Dukes and Bell, all right, what's the big problem? Well, there's a bunch of guys who lied about their age over the course of baseball. I'm not saying it's right. What I'm saying is it's happened. And so here is Joe taking a shot at the Nationals. But, oh, Mike, you know, people took offense.
Now, again, I didn't think it was that bad. I just get a kick out of it because, again, I think Joe's terrible, and I'd like to hear more of Jeff Francoeur on the broadcast. But, you know, the thing is Mike Rizzo, the Nationals general manager.
You like Frenchie?
Yeah, I think Frenchie. Jeff is doing a great job.
I do, too.
And Mike Rizzo, the GM, he got back to him that the comment was made about if he's 19. So apparently he gave Joe a piece of his mind between the two games up there in the ballpark in D.C. Again, Soto from the DR, the reason this would be an issue, and here's why, for guys who don't understand why this got blown up into a thing and it became a national story, within the last 10 years, they've done a job to clean it up, but there was so much age fraud, especially in the Dominican Republic.
There was.
Guys would maybe the Dodger draft pick would get pumped out, and now a 21-year-old is magically 17. Now another team gets a shot. So that's why some teams would be upset, because you're almost accusing the Nationals indirectly of some kind of fraud. And some would say, I'm trying to connect the dots for those of you who don't understand. The Braves just had a major situation when Coppola running amok in some practices that were considered illegal by baseball. Different, it's not about age specific, but that we were running a dirty shop. So who's Joe Simpson to call out the Nationals about the age of one of their players? That's why this became a thing.
That's it. And there'll be a quiz in 5 minutes on everything Mike just said.
But I tried to explain it to one Braves fan who just, I guess Joe Simpson speaks to him in a language that only he understands, Carl, but he loves it.
Yeah, listen.
Mangrove.
I don't know if Joe was being tongue-in-cheek, but people took it offensive. And certainly Mike Rizzo, because as Mike just said, now what are you saying? We're going down to the DR and we're recruiting 13-year-olds? What is that what you're saying? Soto's 19 years old. His birth date is October 25th, 1998, allegedly. Mm-hmm. But, guys, Miguel Tejada lied about his age. Bartolo Colon lied about his age. Braves fans, Rafael Furcal lied about his age. Wandy Rodriguez. I could go on and on. So this is not like some, oh, I can't believe Joe Simpson would say something like that. Again, don't know if he was joking or not. Now, he did say Rizzo said whatever he said and think this thing is squash. But here's the deal. Why is our announcer, why is our analyst getting more pumped than anybody else?
You want me to play baseball announcer psychologist?
Yes.
Maybe because Frenchie's coming in here, he's more charismatic. People seem to like him. Nobody in the history of Braves baseball has ever turned on their television since Skip died and then Pete retired and ever turned on the TV and said, I can't wait to hear Joe Simpson's take. Because no one cares because he has nothing interesting to say. So at the very least, in the twilight of perhaps his Braves broadcast career, he's actually given us something to talk about. So how about that for Joe Simpson?
All right, man. Your thoughts. I know guys are saying, listen, I didn't take offense to it. I didn't think he meant anything by it. But when you take into account the history, which we're trying to lay out for you, the Braves issues, and then the Braves broadcaster, or at least one of them, taking a shot, or at least a perceived shot, that's what's going on with the Nationals if he's 19. Well, hell, how old is Soto then? Is he 26?
But again, that's the only reason why. Why would a Nats general manager get in his feelings that's over it? Because you're implying that there might have been some monkey business in his recruitment or his signing by the Nats. That's the best way I can explain it to you. Yeah. But, you know, look, truth be told, love Skip Carey. Loved his style. I know it wasn't for everybody. I just thought, you know, he's like a scotch. You know, it's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
There's no one who didn't like Pete Van Wehren. But I mean,
most people grew up with Pete. That was during the super station years.
They could use a little infusion of what Frenchie's bringing to the broadcast. I think it's a good effort to have Frank Gore in there. Paul Bird's doing a nice job when he gets a shot too.
Braves. Anything come of this? No.
What's that now?
Does anything come of this?
No. Well, I mean, maybe believe me. After all, many people want to see me get fired a couple years.
No, I'm just asking.
I'm not telling anybody to get fired. I'm just saying that, you know, maybe. Why don't you make him like Jack Whitaker and write essays? Another thing that grinds my gears, these ball players with their tattoos and their big chains.
Their tattoos. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. That's our big story, man. Coming up, Mike Conte, in case you missed it, we got our top three at 6. What is going on in the world of sports? The latest with one contract that everybody's waiting to see what's going to happen with it. We'll tell you about that at 6 o'clock. Conte's next.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conte.
Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
Mike Conte is here. In case you missed it, guys, it's Dukes and Bell. Hey, stay tuned. Coming up in less than 30 minutes, a really cool interview you want to hear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What you got working, Mike?
I have been hypnotized all day today by the stuff that they're showing on ESPN2. Got this Ocho stuff.
Yeah. They do this every year, right? They do this every year now?
Well, if they don't, they should. Yeah. Because, like, right now, right? I don't know if you've been watching. I know you're doing the show. You're very busy.
Sumo wrestling?
No. They've moved on to something called chess boxing. I swear that I'm not making this up. It's something where two people compete in alternating rounds of chess and boxing. And then the first one to either get a checkmate or a knockout wins. And if it ends in a stalemate, then whoever got more points in boxing is the winner. So, like, literally, we're watching
ultimate,
it right now.
Physical and mental competition,
right,
Carl.
Right, so they're playing speed chess in the ring, and then they take breaks to wail on each other. I can't stop watching.
Yeah, it's like interesting.
What was the stuff we were watching earlier?
Before you guys came on, it was called Kabaddi, I think.
Yeah.
And we were watching, like, the Axis of Evil countries.
It was Iran versus India, actually, that one.
Well, India's not in the Axis of Evil. But,
how dare you put us in the Axis of Evil?
No, well, they are not in there. But
This is funny, though.
Well, but that was basically, like, a glorified game of tag, like team tag.
It was like Red Rover come over, what it looked like to me and Craig earlier. But,
I think, if I get the gist of it correctly, there's a guy who tries to tag someone on the other team, but if he does that, he could be tagged back. They did all the sumo. You have that exactly right. They had roller derby. If you're on your way home right now, at 8 p.m., they will be showing the Dodgeball World Cup.
Oh, wow.
I think we all know about Dodgeball. Yeah. And then they're going to show the Dodgeball movie.
F&A.
Big fan of Dodgeball.
They also have something coming on at the top of the hour called the Moxie Games. Mm. And these are a bunch of different competitions in rock, paper, scissors, trick shots and pool, dodgeball while you're juggling. You're juggling and playing dodgeball at the same time. And I swear I'm not making this up. They're going to show a table tennis game where you can only use the head, your human head.
Wow.
This is kind of like, do you remember the old wide world of sports?
Sure, right.
Like when they
obscure
would be up
sports.
At they'd be up in the Catskills showing like the barrel jumping championships or
great. That's a great call, Mike.
Yeah.
Evel Knievel was always on that, but they'd always
Evel
have
Knievel.
The strange sports, the speed skating before we actually saw it at the Olympics.
Right,
like that.
Yeah. Well, but even like completely un-Olympic sports.
Right.
Like you said, Evel Knievel or like they would go to Grossinger's New York and televise the firefighting championships,
right.
Where basically you'd watch firefighters carry ladders.
Yeah,
they used to do that in Long Island. We used to go watch it there, man. Where you'd have the bridge across, like it's supposed to simulate a building, and you got a car. The truck comes flying up. The guys can fly and put the ladder up. Up the ladder they go.
Was it the Hamptons?
Right. No, it was in you know what?
Because the Hamptons are in Long Island.
You know,
aren't
I'm sorry, I didn't grow up in Bumflub like Conte. Okay, I grew up in a nice part of the world.
Suburban Philadelphia's Bumflub.
You know,
I was unaware of that.
Yes, you grew up in Bumflub, pal, Chichester.
I did not grow up in Chichester, but that's not really Bumflub either. I mean, we did have grocery stores there.
Yes.
We had running water.
And a convenience store.
And yes, we had many Wawas.
Yes, you must know the competition was in Patchogue, which is far from the Hamptons.
Okay.
No, we're making that joke because the other day Conte said that, and it's a running joke here on the program.
I'm no longer allowed to refer to any time I spent in the Hamptons.
The Hamptons, right. That's what
we're
talking about.
Maybe you could just cut it down to like once a day. You know, scale it back a little bit. Go on like a little Hamptons diet.
Okay.
You know, like we've been working with, I'm going to bring him up for the third straight day. We've been working with John Fricke a little bit to cut down on his historical references. Yesterday we were talking about radio beefs, like radio hosts beefing with current athletes and the whole thing with Marquette King tweeting an emoji of an eggplant and a head at the Denver radio host. And, of course, we brought up that very, very tense radio beef that John Fricke had with Jim Thorpe. Like
he did?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I offered him on the radio some fire water.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
things
ugly.
Took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, I mean that thing he had with Marty Glickman was really bad.
Fire water.
Really bad.
It is, in case you missed it, with Mike Conte. And yes, this is what we do. We bust each other's boots.
Yes, because
that's what we do.
Because and honestly, and like poor John, because he actually takes this very well. Like there are some people where we could clown on them and it would result in a meeting. Like John's actually, he's very understanding of the fact that he brings this upon himself sometimes with his storytelling. He's got a really good sense of humor about it. We love John. Twitter users, please don't narc us out to John Fricke.
No, no, no.
This is all in good fun.
Yeah. There are some guys who do take it personally.
I'm trying to think of the old
Mark James.
Hey, what's the matter with me, babe? What's the matter with you?
Did you dump that? No? Okay, good.
What, you taking shots at Mark James? No, I'm trying to think of the stuff on Wide World of Sports you just brought up. Barrel jumping, juggling.
Log rolling. Log rolling.
The old lumberjack competition before you'd see that on ESPN.
Yeah. They did hurling, like the Irish
games, the caber.
Believe World's Strongest Man for a long time was on Wide World of Sports.
Always won by Anders Vahr Anderson.
Magnus Vahr Magnusson. Magnus Vahr Magnusson.
What a name. What a name.
He's a strong man, dude. Magnus Vahr Magnusson. Mm. Speaking of strong men, you know, Greg Hardy's doing the MMA thing right now, and he had his second career fight last night in Las Vegas. Faced some tomato can named Tabaris Gordon is his name. Now, I'm not really up on the UFC on the MMA. I know Bo is. Bo, I'm inviting you to talk. Is Tabaris Gordon Is Tabaris Gordon, like, kind of big in MMA circles? Is he going to be confused for McGregor or Rousey or anyone like that?
No, and it should be noted that none of these guys are. They're all fighting on Dana White's show to get
contender.
A contract.
Yeah, yes. It's his version of the contender,
yeah,
right?
The whole point is to earn a contract to fight in the UFC one day.
Greg Hardy put this guy down in 17 seconds.
Oh, I mean, he's
17 seconds.
I don't know the level of competition Carl, they're lining up tomato cans for him, but he looks better at that than he did the last couple of years in the NFL.
Playing football, yeah.
You'll remember the first fight he had. He's now 2-0.
Right.
His first fight, he took someone down in 32 seconds.
32 and now 17.
Yeah. So
bums.
Well, he's doing a better job than Ray Edwards did. Remember? Now, Ray Edwards tried to box a career after his Falcons cut him midseason.
Well, you know,
didn't pan out.
Probably the most famous example of a pro football player who then tried his skill in the boxing ring was Randall Tex Cobb.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, Randall Tex Cobb.
For 15 rounds. I fought Ali, and then for 15 rounds, he repeatedly beat Larry Holmes' fist with his face.
He did.
Like, just headbutting
his
fist constantly.
That's what made Cosell stop calling boxing.
Cosell quit calling boxing after that. Right. He was so disgusted by it because the poor referee, or the referee, wouldn't stop it.
This is embarrassing.
This is a disgrace. He also went on to play the bad guy in Raising Arizona.
And yes, that's right. And I think he was one of the guys in Home Alone. I think he was one of the bad guys in Home Alone.
Did he get for that Holmes fight? Did he get $1 million for that fight back then?
In 1982? Doubtful.
No?
Doubtful.
No,
strong
doubts. Not back then.
Yeah. Strong doubts.
It is, in case you missed it. That's it's interesting, Mike, though, you bring that up about Hardy. Who's he fight? These are bums. Come on, man. Fight
somebody. You know what? Randall Tex Cobb is the guy in the beginning of Ace Ventura Pet Detective that Ace is trying to get the dog back for the woman.
So it was not Raising Arizona?
No, he was not Raising Arizona
well. Okay.
Yeah, he was kind of like a stock actor who'd be like the horrible-looking villain.
Right.
He had a great line after that fight, by the way. And for those of you who aren't old enough to remember Howard Cosell, you won't really resonate with this, but Howard Cosell told him after the fight, because of you, I'm never, ever going to call boxing again. And Randall Tex Cobb said, well, shoot, if I had known that, I would have played football longer, get you off Monday Night Football.
That's a great response.
Yeah. Real quick, we've got a little beef here between Frank Mason, NBA player, and Lil Wayne. Because Lil Wayne, I didn't know this. I knew that Jay-Z ran an agency.
Okay.
Lil Wayne runs an agency, too, called Young Money. And Frank Mason signed with Young Money, took a $40,000 advance from them before he was drafted.
Mm.
And then as a gift, Young Money gave him an $11,000 necklace.
Okay.
A chain. Frank Mason has left Lil Wayne's Young Money, APAA Sports Group. Left them right before the NBA draft, by the way, before he was taken by the Kings. And now Lil Wayne is suing for the chain.
Ooh.
He wants the chain returned because he says in the contract, if you leave the agency, you owe him all the money you are advanced and the jewelry. They have valued the jewelry at $11,000. He made $1.3 million last year, but they're fighting over this right now.
Because agents advance guys all the time.
Happens constantly.
Yeah, all sports.
All the time. Yeah. All the time. Because they know you're going to get drafted. You're going to get a big contract.
Right.
So,
just can't happen while you're in college, then the NCAA gets involved.
And that, unfortunately, does happen a lot. Although, did you guys talk today about this new ruling that they're going to let college basketball players have agents?
We did not.
And if you're not drafted, you can go back to college now.
I think it's the best thing.
That's what Dickie V's been talking about for years.
Yeah. For college basketball.
Yeah.
Because so many guys think they are going to get drafted or think they're ready. They're not. And then you're done. And it shouldn't be that. You should be able to go back to college. You should be able to test the waters. I love this new rule.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, college basketball kind of hanging on, I don't want to say by a thread, but, I mean, the quality of play has diminished quite a bit since the advent of one and done.
Yeah.
This might help keep some guys in college longer. It might also give a safety net for people who, you know, want to test the draft waters but aren't quite sure.
Like, imagine again,
no risk.
Everybody from Kentucky just assumes their birthright is they're going to play 1 year for Calipari to come out. You need another year of season. Look at this last draft class. Yeah.
Exactly right.
Good stuff, Mike Conti. Appreciate you, man. And by the way, Conti guys will have the pre- and post-game for you when it comes to our Falcons. And, of course, that will be Friday. 7:30 kick, but the pregame starting at 5:30. Hey, reminder, join the morning show Friday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Racetrack Store in Alpharetta off Manziel Road for the Morning Rush live broadcast. Stop by and have your chance to receive a coupon for a free small coffee while supplies last.
Hey, man, more stuff on the way, the big three stories of the day. And Carl and I had a great conversation with two local homicide detectives who've gone on to have an awesome TV show that's based on them. It's called ATL Homicide. You'll hear that conversation at 6:20.
Once again, the winner, unanimously, a classic mismatch, Larry Holmes. And there'll be no post-fight interviews. Not for this fight.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.